Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our seemingly more regular Wednesday stream.
Hemlo.
Hemlo, all the tiny people in our computer, we still do not know how you fit in there.
Yems, is it really cold where you are? Because it's cold here.
Well, it's getting warmer. We've had it just gradually get warmer over the past kind of 12 hours, and it should be getting warmer over the next 12 hours. So.
And then it could be damp instead.
Sometimes we're allowed to be a little damp as a treat. But no, it's not really a treat. We do get plenty of damp here. So the weather forecast is, it's less cold, but it's more damp here. So, hooray. Yeah. Hooray for us with the weather. Well, we'll kind of get right into it. It'll be quite efficient here, I would say. We've got a lot of people asked us more about the Elite and about how they interact within their class and they interact with wider society and some of the structural stuff. Because I think there's quite a few things we take internally within our framework a little bit, not for granted, but there are some very important dynamics that we didn't really have time to fully explore in our stream, who are the Elite? Because that left a lot of people relatively tantalized with some of this. So this episode, we're focusing specifically on the Minor Elite. And I think last time we did this, we did quite a good job of defining what the Minor Elite is and who the Minor Elite are. They are the front line, the bottom rung, the majority of the pyramid of the Elite itself. And they are generally made up of the minor relatives of other elites, simply because the Elite operate as a class. Again, anti-liberal thought or outside the liberal frame thought, 101, we'll be fine. 101 is that we have a permanent elite. The Elite are a class.
Yeah, I don't think that sounds right.
Is the mic is a bit fuzzy? Ugh.
Fire alarm going off in the background or something.
No, I'm afraid. Tell you what, let me... There we go. Okay, right. That should be back now.
We're back.
Yes. Hello. Are we back? We're back. Goodness sake. Hello. Yes, we are back. Sorry about that. I think the microphone, USB. There is no ceiling bird. There is no fire alarm. I don't quite know what's going on there, but yes. Hello. We are and should be the back. I tested the audio when we came on air, so should be roughly, where it was. So, okay. That seems to have solved our slight gain problem we'll be getting there. Checking we've not got any stray feet kicking any wires, but we should be okay. Yes, mic is indeed fixed. Apologies for that. We had a little bit of trouble there, but we'll soldier on. Yes, last week we talked about the minor... Well, not last week, sorry. The last time we had a stream about the Elite, which was our Who Are the Elite stream, to quickly recap. We did talk about who the Minor Elite are and the shape of them and the way they interact with the wider Elite. And as we defined them, they are really people you can definitely say are an Elite, but on the bubble. They generally don't exist as people who are in power, in quotes, proper. They are part of the wider class of people in power. Oh, dear. I don't think there's a magnet anywhere, but I apologize if there isn't any audio issue, guys. We'll try and make sure there isn't next time, but I have no idea what could be causing that, to be honest with you. I've been monitoring it and it's generally been okay, but we'll not worry too much about audio stuff.
Anyway, if you would like to buy us some new audio equipment,
yes.
Just in case this stuff seems to be shitting the bed. You can support these streams via becoming a channel member, or giving us a super chat, or becoming a subscriber to the Substack, or if you really want to be cool and special and you haven't done it yet because you've been living under a rock, you can also buy a book.
Yes, we do still have, for your consideration,
book.
We do still have book. There it is.
I see someone in chat is saying, I have bought book. Have you considered buying more book.
No. We may have more book at some point.
If you want to know more about what I'm getting at here, buy books. Other than that, don't ask me what needs to.
Anyway, we've got our book bumpers. Buy book. But that is you can also donate via the Ko-fi, like you said, or we are still fully monetized on YouTube. So YouTube does have monetization stuff too.
But I think a place you wanted to start with this stream, sort of more than anything else, is that we get discussions of the overproduction of elites and this sort of idea that, oh, because they're being overproduced, that certain things might happen in society. But really, these sort of views fall flat when you realise that, one, the elite is not a monolith, and the sort of elites, quote-unquote, that are being overproduced aren't like Tony Blair's. They're actually minor elites. If anything, they're really sort of non-elites that are just allowed to live in the presence of elites for reasons we will probably get into.
Yes. As Christopher Lewis says in chat, spin photorealistic book in your head.
Yes.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the shapes rotating. But when we talk about elite overproduction, unfortunately, it has become a bit tied to this guy called Peter Turchin,
who was one of the prophets of doom from his book.
Yes, he is one of the prophets of doom, but he's also somebody who dabbles in what I would consider the slight Betsian framework.
I'm going to go one further here and suggest that this is probably not Peter Turchin's fault, but it's the fact that this is Compact Mag and it's Thiel people that are interpreting it.
Oh, it is, but it's the way he's been used. He's been sloppified.
Yes.
He's been put through the Civil War slop filter. We'll not read this. This is kind of shit, to be honest with you, this Compact Mag article. But I just wanted to get the whole Peter Turchin thing out of the way. When we talk about elite overproduction, he was the person who put out some of the alarm bells about the fact that we are producing too many people who think they should be elites.
Mm.
That is not how elites are actually produced. That is the bizarre cargo cult method we'll get into, which is a result of the false idea of meritocracy. They are producing people who think they should be elites, but they never can be. There is as we've said, the elite is a closed shop. It is, for want of a better term, a crime family.
Mm.
It is. It is an extended family like a crime family. And like all good crime families, you don't get into a crime family through meritocracy.
No.
They don't go through the recruitment agencies. There is nobody to complain to if you feel like you've been...
Tony Soprano did not have a stall at the high school jobs fair, did he?
No, he didn't. No, he did not. Sorry. I was just thinking... The whole point of the elite overproduction framework from Turchin, though, was, again, it's about the idea of the meritocracy. That a lot of these people have been told to believe that they should be elites when they aren't. But the thing is that these overproduced elites in this context, the people who think they should be, they're not dangerous. They're not incompetent. They're not going to try and rise up to claim a position they don't even really know exists. Many of the people who are the traditional overproduced elites aren't elites at all. And that's where a lot of this confusion comes from when we talk about who the elites are, because we have a very hard definition of the elite as a class, mm-hmm. as a contiguous class, and as a class that looks out for its interests and moves together. What we have here is really a product of the managerial revolution, the managerial elite, and the associated managerial class. What we have is the revolution of mass and scale within the minor elites, but this is really the wannabe elite. What we're talking about here, when we talk about the minor elite and elite overproduction, is kind of both senses. There is an overproduction, as Peter Turchin says, of the people who think that they should be elites.
Yes.
But also within the elite itself, there is an overproduction of genuine minor elites, of the daughters, nieces,
yes.
the wider families of people who are actually elite. And it's a difficult conversation to have, because one of these groups is definitely elite, and one of these groups definitely isn't.
Well, yes, and this is why we discussed in our previous stream on who are the elite, this sort of idea that a sizable number of them basically need to be sort of cordoned off and given little jobs in, like, nature conservation,
yes.
and culture and the arts, and qualities and all these sort of different little fashion sort of movements that people can be part of in a sort of cosmopolitan sense. And really, that's only viable for them because they have elite status, but they aren't being allowed to act upon it. So no. They can't really be let completely rogue and allowed to do what they would want, because they still have to be kept, you know, in some sort of like some barracks or as like spare ammunition. But in the same regard, you've also got to give them something to do that's going to go nowhere.
Well, larger systemary pressures mean that education makes being a functionary that serves the elite most people's main ambition, or at least it becomes something that people do aspire to. But the elite class, as we'll keep hammering home, is a closed shop. A lot of people cannot remove the crayon drawing of liberalism from their minds, and the idea that you eventually, you know, anyone can become president, we get that out of our heads pretty quickly, but yes. The surrounding structures remain. There is a difference between commissioned and enlisted functionaries. And as we talked about during our Who Are the Elite stream, there is this interface between the productive middle class and the elite class.
Yes, but, and
yeah,
what we are, I think, getting at here is that elite is not status in so much as the fact that you are an aristocrat,
no,
or you're a high status. It is a unique quality that demarcates your ability to rule, I think, really, is yes. The most simple way we can put it. There are a lot of people who are from the elite and could be part of it that are dumped out of it because they aren't useful. There are a lot of people in the sort of productive classes that don't actually have the natural characteristics to be an elite, that could be confused for one,
yes.
and may even be commissioned up into an elite position if it's required of them.
Well, the big difference here is that minor elite status exists regardless of employment status. The true minor elite is still a minor elite despite his position. And that's
Liz
why you
trust is still a minor elite even though she was a PM.
Yes.
She's probably less elite status than someone like Nick Clegg, despite the fact that Nick Clegg was a deputy PM that really didn't do much.
Yes. She's certainly far lower status than someone like Tony Blair.
Oh, of course.
That's the ultimate, you know, he might as well be the king.
Yes.
He might as well actually be an old world king with the power he wields compared to most of the elite class. But that's one of the more extreme divide examples. But the other thing as well is that all of this is sewn up. When we talk about the minor elite, a lot of people try and serve the elites with the status tied to their jobs. Middle class people especially are what we referred to last time as kind of the managing / non-governing elite. They are the people who are brought in as a bottom layer whose elite status is completely contingent on their commission.
And as a consequence of their want to strive,
yes.
to really desperately and sycophantically be part of the elite, they sell themselves short.
Yes.
They have to agree to some sort of mutual compromises, you might suggest. And this therefore means that this person's entrance into the striving elite or their approximate sort of
distance, well, it's the striving non-elite is what it is.
Well, that comes as a consequence of the fact that they are willing to give something up and allow themselves to be disciplined by those that they are sycophantic of.
Well, it is. It's also them sacrificing to become the bottom rung of something. A lot of people, again, as we talked about during the previous stream, have this idea that they will do anything to be part of this elite strata. But really what they're doing is being exploited. That they're being let into the joke layer, the janitor layer of the elite pyramid, and told, well, at least you're not down there in the mess.
Yeah.
At least you have some elite status.
But I think this, again, gets to the idea that what we're talking about here is elite. It is your recognition as being part of a ruling class. And that means you might be a very, very, very small part in it, but you are more elite than someone who's a massively productive and independently wealthy individual that has no political means to make use of.
Yes. That is also true. Tell you what, I quite like that. I like the it's the Nick. I managed to find a nice high quality source image for Nick 30. I found the one it's from.
And an individual you've picked out here as an example, because they are basically a perfect example for this.
Yeah,
is someone like Connor Tomlinson, who has tried to sort of sell himself in some regard to the elite class that he live under in the hopes that he'll be picked up, essentially, and that he can become part of their little ruling bubble. And clearly, this isn't working for him, is it? Because even though he's gone on the trip, he said all the things he's supposed
Israel.
To say, they still won't give him what he wants. Now, to what extent this is a kayfabe arc in his own personal development, I do not entirely know yet. But clearly it's indicative of the fact that there is an obvious process where people who think they are elites because they went to some Russell Group university and studied under people that have a vague amount of political influence nowadays, that they should then be able to move into that place.
Yes.
And that by doing some sort of gophering and some running around and some interning for them, that they are owed some sort of status back.
Yes. The conflict between the kayfabe or not between Connor Tomlinson and Michael Gove is endemic of the fact that he will never be an elite.
Yes, he'll never be Michael Gove.
Yeah, no matter how much he wants to be, he will never be Michael Gove. And if
Connor Tomlinson has an issue with that, he's more than welcome to come on here and discuss how much he does or does not want to be Michael Gove with.
Yeah, we can also discuss about what Liz Truss was doing at his wedding as well. But
Anyway. I think one of the more important parts I think we've really got with this stream here that I'd rather move on with is the myth of social mobility.
Yes.
I think social mobility, you know, you think of like high school modern studies as we had it, maybe very basic politics or whatever you had at your level in school. Social mobility, this idea that we all progress upwards.
Yes.
So we become more affluent and we become better connected in our communities, and therefore our social status is raised as we have committed effort and saved and deferred gratification throughout life. But this sort of really starts to fall apart when you try to suggest that social mobility allows you to become an elite. It doesn't. The elite class is maintained on loyalty, not technical competence. That is what keeps it functional. Meritocracy is something that we poor people live with.
Yes.
It's not that some individual that's trying to get into the elite class isn't good enough at something meritocratic. It's that they don't have loyalty to the class. They could be as bad as they want at their job, but if they're never going to turn around and shake the egg cart, then they can stay.
The fundamental problem here is that if you can't think outside of liberal democratic terms, you will never understand this. You will be incapable of understanding that an elite needs to maintain loyalty as a priority to exist, and that isn't a bad thing.
Mm.
That's just it's a good thing. They need loyalty.
It's like gravity.
Yeah.
It's value-free.
It is value-free, but it's neither bad nor good. It's to do with function, and it's to do with the immutable function of the division of labour, of hierarchy. Those at the top of the hierarchy need to pull together as a unit in a way that is far beyond even people in the middle of the pyramid, even as extended families who try and strive.
And this is why we always suggest that when people look at it as a monolith of people that believe in leftist ideology, that that's a very, very, very low-level way that they close ranks.
Yes.
Where they really close ranks isn't even on the level of competence, it's on your loyalty and I suppose it's what you can bring to the elite class, but more often than not, the important characteristic is that you are unwilling to shake the egg cart and will be accountable for any mistake it makes, even independent of your own action.
Well, it's the example recently was Prince Andrew. Prince Andrew should be in prison many times over. He's an elite and very well connected. He's a slightly disgraced one, but he will never be subject to the conditions that we are subject to. He will never be punished as a non-elite will be punished.
A Lord Ali or someone like that.
The middle class under managerialism is very flattened as well. What we have really is between about £20,000 a year if you claim the right benefits, and actually probably about £100,000 a year as an earner, you will live very similarly, depending on what other conditions you have. I mean that both medically and non-medically, or on paper. But the whole point is that the benefit system really has created this flattened middle class. There's a lot of people who exist, although divergent in income, economically identically.
Yes, I mean, I don't know if you want to quickly get this graph up before we go on to the next
But
I think part of what you're sort of discussing here is that these people have been given a hint of social stasis, but what they actually don't have is the independent means, which means that, okay, you might earn £150,000 a year as a manager for the NHS, but you live somewhere that's so costly and you are so up to your eyeballs in debt that really you live just as someone who lives on 30 grand's worth of benefits a year lives in the north.
Yes.
You might drive a slightly better spec car. You might eat slightly better food. You might go to slightly better restaurants, but you don't have a home chef. No. You don't have a private plane.
No.
You don't have a lobby group.
You don't. You probably don't even own a boat.
Your family probably doesn't have a trust.
No. If you are somebody in Britain who earns under £500,000 a year...
And have done so, if you haven't earned that amount for maybe decades...
Okay, your maximum earning potential, the most you will ever earn in your life, is £500,000 a year. That sounds like a lot to people... But it's not.
Yeah.
Not really anymore. You are not an elite by default with money because money has been so debased.
Yes, and this is why this idea of social mobility is a complete myth.
Yes.
You know, in the previous sort of ages, you would have inherited the jobs that your family would have done. Maybe if your father was a blacksmith, you'd be a blacksmith. Your sons, they would be blacksmiths.
Yes.
But there is no longer the view of... you know, the lord or the king or the regent or whatever, looking down at his blacksmith and saying, how can I make your life better as a blacksmith?
Yes.
It's about stripping all that structure apart and having you involved in some sort of abstracted administrative role that makes your life better. That's a quality of life improvement and a different set.
Well, it's just the immutable facts of civilization is that 80% of people will... effectively do some variation on digging ditches.
Mm.
And it's not the fact that, well, what are we digging? What are these people toiling for? What are the ditches being dug for? And how can we actually make sure that...
their toil is meaningful.
Yes. Instead of that, they go, well, you don't need to toil. They try and balloon the middle of this pyramid. The middle of the pyramid becomes this distorted shape from its natural reality. It's a mutable reality of hierarchy. And where... They attempt to, but you can't fight the division of labour. And as such, they aim to keep both, you should aim to keep both people in their place and well cared for. Mm. But social mobility says you do not need to stay in your place.
You don't need to be cared for because you're going to naturally somehow come up through the strata.
Well, social mobility is also, once again, the stripping of a place. Like you said, we did used to inherit our father's jobs. The classic old world craftsman was the blacksmith. Social mobility says that instead of increasing the lot of the blacksmith, the elite will instead give him a pseudo-administrative position. And this is what we see here. In the 1970s, a huge glut of public sector management jobs were created to try and mollify this. They had destroyed the old world with its hierarchies, meaning and place. And instead, what they did was promise that everybody would be a middle manager.
Mm.
And so you ended up with first the public sector in the 1970s and the private sector in the 1980s. And then in the 90s and kind of...
Graduate jobs.
Yes, graduate jobs. The education feeds into this very heavily as well. In the 90s and 2000s, a huge managerial industry cropped up within the public-private partnership. This is this, really.
And I think the point you've got after this, I think, is one of the key elements here. These are the people who buy in.
Yes.
Even if they do actually climb onto that bottom rung of the only ladder that matters, the elite ladder.
Well, the thing is, these people, none of the people I'm talking about now...
Even if they did,
I'm
going to say. Even if they did, their status is not tied to a heritable position, but to their fragile managerial position within the bottom rung of the class.
The key thing
they
is...
they can't pass this on.
Yes,
there's
that's
no.
The key.
There's no continuation of their great work or their great project within that space. It's just, oh, right, let's get rid of that and move on to the next one.
Well, the whole point is that social mobility would always lead to the inflation of the paper elite. But these people are not elites. And most of them will never touch the elite world. And even the ones who do are excluded from being made men in the true elite sense. Again, the actual elite is an elite whether he is working or idle.
Mm.
And there is a large percentage, as we've talked about previously, of the elite who are idle or are pseudo-idle. They live on elite welfare. And we'll get into elite welfare and the interaction with the minor elite there. Social mobility and education act as a deliberate elite overproduction engine. This allows filtering at scale for loyalty.
Yes. And what you end up with is a ballooned class of people that act as a giant sort of safety cushion, because all the people in that bubble are too busy arguing with each other about who's the tiniest little lord.
Yes.
You know, this is my little managerial fiefdom.
Well, it's we've done the containment arc stuff. We'll probably go back to reference this a few times, because there's a couple of instances where I want to talk about our previous work, that being on the Henry Jackson Society and Policy Exchange, and them as an example of the NGO network. But within places like the Henry Jackson Society and places like that, you get interns who are... There's an exchange. It's hard to describe. There's people who think they are when they aren't, and people who think they aren't when they are. Because the other side of this, a lot of your middle managers will think that they are elites when they are not. They have been given this
part of the upper middle class.
Yes, they've been given these meritocratic, basically gold stars. They've been given hats on the head for conforming. And they think that is what makes them an elite, but it isn't. Thank you for the £10. Sorry, I'll do. It was Big Dick 1034.
That's a Digbeck.
Digbeck 1034. Have you listened to the podcast Myth of the 20th Century? They once had Yeah, I've heard of Myth of the 20th Century. They're kind of a thing in the past, though.
You listen to podcasts?
Overproduced. The population of Africa. Thank you for the £2. The titsy.
And Lamented Guide, of course, who sends us a sticker, who is the only man
he's
in YouTube
the only man
use
in YouTube history who has ever used... Can we get a round of applause, please, for Lamented Guide for figuring out how the YouTube sticker system works?
Because, yes.
God, do we not know.
Loyal sticker sender.
Yes.
But I think what you're trying to get at is that one of the problems really they actually have to deal with in regards to their own structure as a class... Maybe sometimes it's a saving grace, maybe sometimes it's actually a massive hindrance, is that they have people who are part of their own class that they are trying to G up into taking up elite roles on.
Yes.
And they won't.
No.
Because they think because they're not an aristocrat or a lord or some sort of more heritage title that they don't fit, even though really you'd look at them in a room of normal people and they would stick out like a sore thumb because the way they carry themselves and the way they expect things to be done.
You learn to spot these people. And you learn to spot these people who do not know what they are. These aren't just old money aristocrats. These are also the sons, daughters, nieces, nephews of senior civil servants, of people who have, over the past 50 years, been commissioned into the expanded, the inflated, the revolution of mass and scale that took place in the elite class itself, because of the managerial revolution. That is the key transformation in the 20th century, is this production of this managerial elite class, but it still must function like an old world elite. It is just one that is inflated and overpopulated by its own minor members, leaving no room for these people who are supposedly socially upwardly mobile. The lie of social mobility is that you can join the elite class if you are good enough. But that's not true, because the elite class have to have mutual loyalty.
Because it's not about merit at all.
No, it's about knowing each other. Mm. It's about being in a social scene. It's about functioning as a class. And so you cannot have what would be an over-cycling of the elites. The elites would be cycled to such a degree so rapidly that
there
none of them
be
would
no
be...
There would be no elite class.
Yeah, there would be. And so your country would simply collapse. An elite would impose itself from within or without, if you were to run an elite like that. And that really is the myth there. But there's the other side of this, which is the fish who don't see the water.
Mm.
It's people who are financially middle class, or even lower middle class in some cases, who nonetheless have extreme elite connection that will see them through in later years.
Mm.
Many of these people are the interns at outfits like the Henry Jackson Society, now heavily linked with Reform, because Mendoza's been made their... Their research guy, hasn't he?
Well, I think what you're... What we're getting into here is that, well, how do you maintain that loyalty? How do you fabricate a heritable status in a world that no longer does heritability? Well, or at least doesn't recognise it?
One of the most telling aspects of the minor elite is the preponderance of the Nepo baby.
Mm.
But what we consider the Nepo baby is normal dynasty building. It is that the elite class, the managerial elite, especially the ethno-religious carve-outs within it, are allowed to practice heritability and exclusionary definitions in a way that we are not.
No, of course.
And when you look at this, you were able to see that most, especially of the visible people that you see, because power wants to be seen, many of the visible media figures are minor elites placed there by their elite extended family, either near or extended. So the likelihood of an online personality being planted by his elite family is extremely high.
Mm.
The media circus, especially online, is where they put a lot of the minor elite washout.
This is the same
thing. A lot of the people aren't good enough for anything else.
Well, this is the same thing we pointed out time and time again with the example of Katie Colthorpe in the previous stream on Who Are the Elite?
Yes.
That who can afford to become a journalist nowadays? Who can afford to intern for 15 different
Tory
outlets?
Who can afford
outlets?
To work for the civil service, even at the mid-level, and pay people £25,000 a year?
Sorry, but this example specifically, who can afford to be an intern for all these different outlets and live in London and be part of the social scene?
Yeah.
At a young age?
Yes.
No one.
No one.
Nobody no one genuinely. That's independently wealthy at that age would want to do that anyway.
No.
So clearly what you end up with is a group of people who are there because people have paid for them to be there.
For those who didn't know, yes, Ben Shapiro's father, David Shapiro, wrote for Breitbart under the pseudonym William Bigelow. There's over 4,900 articles written under that name on the website between 2012 and 2016. Many were glazing Ben with no disclosure to prop up his career. This is in response to someone taking issue with Ben Shapiro being called a Nepo baby.
Speaking of the latest TikVa event.
Yes, speaking of the latest TikVa. There seems to be this there's endless speaking arrangement. This endless speaking calendar for these people. Where does the money come from for the endless speaking calendar of these manufactured Nepo baby, talentless minor elites?
I wonder. I mean, another example we've talked about before as well, one Jacob Ferretti, who was the former editor of Unheard and is now the editor of Dispatch.
Which is basically just...
Dispatch, who is it for?
Yeah, Dispatch, who is it for?
Inside Ireland's ayahuasca retreats. Inside the OnlyFans triangle. Right, get that fucking aff. Get away. Go away, fuck off, Jacob. Just because your dad's got too much money and you're associated with bizarre bits of the British intelligentsia.
For those who don't know, Jacob Ferretti is Frank Ferretti's son, as in Revolutionary Communist Party Frank Ferretti, as in Spiked Online Frank Ferretti, as in Battle of Ideas Frank Ferretti, as in Placing Policy Advisors in Number 10 Frank Ferretti, as in Claire Fox Revolutionary Communist Party. Alumni, also associated with Frank Ferretti. And his son just so happens to be a former editor on Heard and is now an editor of Dispatch.
I mean,
this is what they do. It's meritocracy for you, dynasty for me.
Of course. I mean, and this is prevalent throughout the entirety of the podcast alternative media sphere. This space I don't actually think's popular and sustainable on its own merits.
No.
There are weird little exceptions to this where people at AA can make a living out of it, or people at the Lotus Eaters can bundle some money together and have a bit of a media thing. But the main part of this whole market is supplemented by a sort of new modern aristocracy that's trying to get their children to become celebrities. I mean, one Winston Aubrey Aladar de Balkan Marshall, son of Paul Marshall of Marshall Wace. He's obviously not from our social circles, is he?
No.
He's obviously never going to have to live up to the realities of putting on some terrible YouTube show that no one watches, because money will be thrown at it anyway.
Yeah, because he's Paul Marshall's talentless son.
Or Andrew Gold from BBC that now runs Heretics, who studied at a private school institution that I think was something like £5,000 or £6,000 a year for a term.
Yes.
I'm sure he's just like you and me.
Yes. Yes, they're all just like you and me. But the prevalence of the podcast Nepo Baby is a great example of who the minor elite are. They are foppish, they are vain, and they are not expected to work for a living, most of them.
Mm.
Whereas people who are quote-unquote meritocratic hires, who have work extracted from them. Again, as soon as their job goes away, they go away, and their children cannot inherit their position.
But let's go one step further than this.
Yes.
I mean, there's more to this than just putting people in media positions so they become little celebrities. The whole notion of philanthropy that exists nowadays exists not to benefit poor, impoverished paupers like you or me. It exists so that people who have spent, sometimes throughout their own families, generations advocating against the maintenance of inherited wealth can inherit their own wealth, multiply, and pass it on to their kids, and be seen to be doing a social good whilst they do it.
Those of you who believe that the rich boomers saying they won't give their money to their parents are serious, the ultra-rich ones, the elite ones, that's retarded. And no offense, but you're retarded. You fell for a very simple trick. Bill Gates and others have promised not to pass on their wealth to their children and leave it to charity. But these charities are used to give their descendants political influence.
Because they become board members.
Yes.
They become the executors of this trust.
An income shelter from tax and social status. And also allows them to employ dozens of their own minor elite friends. There was a bit of a stir recently where Simon Cowell's decision about Sun not inheriting £6 million fortune sparks debate. This is him getting out ahead of the Simon Cowell Foundation. The Simon Cowell Foundation, which his son will, no doubt be a board member of when it's founded, will be used to pass on his legacy not only to his son but also to attract donations that will help force multiply his relevance.
Yes.
And NGO networks like this exist as a way to make sure that this intergenerational wealth has a loophole.
Yes, so that someone like, you know, Ben Shapiro's dad can give shitloads of money to something like Breitbart, write anonymously to promote his own son's career, and then have him inherit some of the money through that, essentially tax-free, in a way that we, people who are not elites, cannot do. And I think even a large number of people who are independently wealthy and of means don't have all the connections required to make this work, because at some point there needs to be that private, public partnership, NGO, government complex, where the 100 million you've chucked in is now by government multiplied to a billion, and you are now like a major power broker.
Well, this is why the NGO networks act as patronage networks for minor elites. They're what the extended family inherits instead of a family business. This whole giving pledge, this idea that they will set up these infinite NGOs is, one, unproductive. Instead of family businesses, now we have these terrible political NGOs that are
PR orgs, whatever they are.
They're for the maintenance of their own class. But all of these global NGOs really are just elite class lobby. They are lobbies by the minor elite for the ruling elite. And this entire industry, instead of producing things like tires and fabrics, just produces consent. It is the entropy internally within their class has become so high, they have gone from producing goods to profit to producing consent to stay in power. And that is where most of their energy lies. And that is what most of these NGOs are concerned with.
But that's why some of what people see doesn't make sense to them, because they don't understand that this mechanism is so marginal, really.
Yes.
No one's actually making big sums of money out of it. What they're not doing is losing it all.
Well, they're becoming post-scarcity. They're becoming charities. They're writing themselves outside of the normal frame. An NGO, a charity, is no longer a business, and therefore it no longer exists like a business. And therefore they're able to have this PR wrapper around it. It's all wrapped up in this PR layer of charity. The NGO networks are then given state money to amplify this inherited position. Heritable status and intergenerational wealth has been destroyed for everyone but the elites. And part of it is also them trying to persuade stupid non-elites to disinherit their parents, disinherit their children. This is all meant to go, well, I'm giving all my money to charity, which really means I'm founding a giant NGO that my government buddies will then put money into to amplify my children's future tenfold.
But this is how you create a dynasty now.
Yes.
I mean, this is why I think, really, maybe we underappreciate how much more influence some of these big foundations, these big independent institutes, will continue to have. Because in a way, they have an ability, through the public-private sort of miasma, to maintain a legacy and a dynasty beyond probably liberal democracy.
Yes. These are their line. This is what they've come up with, in that they're also closing these down is difficult. It's very difficult.
You can't close down a charity.
Yeah.
What are you, Hitler?
They have carved out for themselves an exception. Heritable status is that exception. Their ability to make themselves an exception by the NGO money circus is one of the things that defines them as elites.
I mean, some of the most successful elite families that are left now in Britain are the people who most quickly liquefied major centuries-long estates into stuff like this over the post-war period.
Yes. And the point of all of this is just a giant consent manufacturing machine. All it does is tell the managerial machine more of what it wants to hear. It is a huge entropic trap. Proximity to these exceptional entities, the exception they've carved out for themselves, the NGO network, is a sign of elite status and loyalty, and is grounds for gatekeeping out individuals on its own. We should probably stress this even harder. Okay, the reason that a lot of people didn't understand what we were talking about when we said that a huge chunk of people who've tried to attach themselves to being the solution in Britain with
Based sprogs.
Yeah, the base sprogs, because any proximity to this NGO network is a sign that you are suspicious.
Yes, it indicates either the fact that they think you're so impressionable that you can be totally and utterly controlled, or somewhere up in your family tree or in some sort of way, there is a reciprocity where you're owed this opportunity.
Yes.
And because you're owed that opportunity, you owe them too, whether you signed it in paper or not. I mean, there is a subset of people who I know for a fact will eventually get round to listening to this stream. I know you think you work for X, Y, or Z think tank or media company, and it's a great opportunity, and that you're going to become part of the striving middle class. I'm sorry, but you're not. Please run away before you become the next Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, you work
for your own sake.
You
not
work
forever.
For the security services, stupid. You're in an NGO operation. Where do you think you are?
You better start believing in spook stories.
Think you're doing? How do you think that these patronage charities, these political charities that are paying you, get by? How do you think they get away with that? Where do you think their money... What do you think their point was in the first place? The whole point of outfits like Policy Exchange, like the Henry Jackson Society, like all of the Tory Octopus, like all of these NGO foundations that support all of these new political ventures, they are all simply the money that is bundled away by our current managing elite to perpetuate their own position. That is where the money comes from. That is the point of all this. It is minor elite welfare. And the minor elite are not a merit category. They are a class category. They are born into it. What they are doing is they are filling these with their own loyalists, their cousins, as we've shown you. All of these people fill their world with their family, friends, and connected people. And then what they do is they bring other people in it to do the butt work for them, who can be dispensed with at a moment's notice. You're either a paid-up minor elite loyalist...
Or you're replaceable.
Or you're a replaceable butt monkey. And the idea that you can break into this, that you can infiltrate a class of people, people who are born into their positions, is retarded because you are being laughed at. You do not understand how an elite structure works. You do not understand that this is simply them washing their money via the government and the charity sector and the exception to feed into their own containment and consent manufacturer operations. That is the point of them.
Yes.
You can't utilize these things because the point of them is elite welfare and keeping themselves in power.
Yes, and this cuts both ways. Asymmetric is one of the points you've got here in the conclusion that I think fits right onto the end that we're talking about right now. The elite act as the exception. So the imposition of meritocracy that by definition does not apply to them is an attack on all of the non-elite class.
Yes.
As is the destruction of intergenerational wealth. Social mobility is illusory, as it would dilute their already diluted minor ranks. Managerialism requires the weaponizing of liberal doctrine that cannot apply to those in power and the class that they serve.
Again, if you believe that liberal values apply to the people who are in power, you are mentally retarded because they are the exception. They are in power. They can do what they want. And so the gulf between the rules that apply to those in power, i.e. no rules, and the rules that apply to the rest of the population is the gulf. It's how they exploit it. Oh, well, this should apply equally. It can't. You don't live in the Care Bears universe. You must grasp the fact that people in power can do what they want. Do you know why they can do what they want? Because they're in power. And if you can't grasp that, I would ask you to politely but firmly to leave.
But I think that's the thing as well, though. This is a fundamental aspect of the revolution of mass and scale.
Yes.
And that the organic growth and development of structures of labour or governance, or possibly even where these two integrate into one another, were no longer allowed to carry on because now you are actually being liberated unto social mobility. And yes, you don't have to be a pauper forever, when actually being a pauper forever is good, because being a pauper was going to get better.
Well, it's not being a pauper, it's...
But that is the...
Yeah.
Ultimately, whether it's the blacksmith or whether it's the lowest lord in the land who has the smallest parcel of land to look after and the smallest holdings, he still doesn't strive to be the king because he knows his little fiefdom is going to get better.
Yes.
And that happens naturally and organically as it develops over time. What doesn't happen is he turns around and destroys the structure in his local community and then turns around to people and says, well, there's opportunities elsewhere.
That's what it is. It's also just the mobile labour managerial cop-out, in that you can be anything, you can be from anywhere, everyone's a blank slate, therefore, why wouldn't we want social mobility?
In a sense, almost in agreeing with something, some of the stuff that the socialists in Britain said in the 30s and 40s, meritocracy is an imposition.
Yes.
Now, the reasons why it's an imposition and what it achieves from that is very different. They would argue that meritocracy was an imposition from the top down. Of course it was, but not upon the top, was it?
No, you never have to live in your own meritocratic universe.
Yes, essentially.
If you're in power, you never have to live in a meritocracy.
No.
You are imposing conditions on everyone else that can never be applied to you.
Oh, the only meritocratic standard you have to live up to is that your class is maintained and that you are the person in power. But that's not really a gradient or a scales, that's a yes or no, really.
Well, it's this inversion, it's this idea that there is things as written and things as practiced, and the gulf between the two. And the exploitation of that, the destruction of intergenerational wealth, and the creation of these NGO patronage networks that are just the trough that the minor elite feed from. The reason that the people you think will save you, the reason that the Connor Tomlinsons and the Charlie Downs of this world can't do anything is because they're feeding from the same hand. And the people surrounding them are all guffawing minor elites like Winston fucking Marshall, son of Paul Marshall, or one of the Freddies at Unheard, who is, you know, who is it for? It's for Paul Marshall and what's-his-face? Tim Montgomery.
Yeah.
Founder of Conservative Home. The reason is that they think that they can utilise a structure that was set up explicitly, not only to destroy them, but to enrich and empower the managerial elite class, who hates them and would like to see them ethnically and personally destroyed. That is the conclusion here. The minor elite, you see it. You see it in structure. And that is why our disgust at these NGOs that come into this space is so complete. Because you must understand that they are
an imposition upon us, yes, of a false patronage that is there not to benefit us. It's there to shut us out.
It's also there as a method of publicly funded welfare for their own children that they cannot financially support. Because the managerial elite, unlike the previous more mercantile elite, and before that, the landed elite, they aren't forced to produce. If you are a landowner and you gain status by the production of your land, you have to make your land produce. If you are a parliamentarian or a new elite, if you are a financial elite, all you need to do is a bit of NGO money magic to make sure that your descendants work and that your descendants have power. You don't need to maintain anything. And that is really the problem of managerialism.
Right. I think we're wrapping up this stream, or at least I hope so anyway, because I've got to go somewhere.
Okay.
That is all I can say.
Fair enough. I'll make sure we've not missed any donations. I'll also talk through a couple more bits and pieces here. I would like, if you've not seen it, do go and watch our Who Are the Elite stream. It explains some of this stuff a bit more, and it gives you more of a definition of who the minor elite are and aren't. But the heritable part of that, the outside structure and the exceptional nature of things like the charity sector and their disguising in these ultra-liberal, ultra-moral terms is not accidental. This is why total rejection is the only answer to understanding how power actually functions. Total rejection of the liberal frame, I mean. You have to reject it totally, or else you are completely blind to the cruel trick of charity. To come out and say, I hate charity, I think modern charity should be abolished, sounds insane to most people. But modern charity, in quotes, is overwhelmingly used by the managerial class to carve out a managerial exception to fund the careers of their own talentless children. So they can sit there on boards of underwater basket weaving for feminist NGOs and never do a day of work in their life. And oh, by the way, all these NGOs lobby the government and receive government funding to make sure that this elite welfare program is expanded. And you can't, everyone's like, well, why can't I get an NGO job? Why can't I get one of these overproduced elite jobs? It's because it's not for you. It's for a defined but larger class of elites. All that happened when the old lords were done away with, when the landed gentry was removed from this country, and when we were liberated from our old masters, from the old generational intergenerational wealth system that we all saw during the liberal reforms, apparently, as this awful imposition, this awful unfairness. All that happened was actually the number of elites that ruled over you got bigger. And it didn't get bigger by you joining it. It got bigger by them expanding it and including more of themselves. And this structure is unwieldy. It needs feeding. And to feed it, these people impose more taxes upon you. And that is really just the crayon drawing of how this all works. The managerial elite cannot save you from hierarchy because hierarchy is immutable. They cannot turn you into an elite because most people cannot be in charge because of the division of labor. You will not be in power, and that's a good thing. But they never reckon with increasing the lot of people who are in their place. If you are born into a job, if you are a tile maker and your father was a tile maker and his father was a tile maker, then you should look to your elite and you go, well, I don't want to be an elite. I don't have delusions of grandeur. I'd just like the tile makers to suffer less, please. I am a tile maker. I will always be a tile maker. People will always need tiles. Therefore, can you please make sure that my area and my career is viable and that things work? When people reconcile with the place they're in and the place they're in is productive, actually productive, not fake productive, then things function correctly. When you have people who quite literally have ideas above their station, all that happens is that you have an expansion in meaningless middle management. What you get is this. You get this. This is all you get. You end up with infinite printed paper managers who have no actual influence because the slice of the pie that the elite occupy doesn't really change. The immutable facts of the old world and the liberalism do not go away. And all you get is people... It's like job title engineering. All you get is a bunch of waste management managers who really are just people who send the emails to dispatch the bin men. It's things like that. It is this awful shitification of what is and isn't being an elite and being a manager. Because inflationism really is one of the only things that they have. It is inflationism of status and inflationism of people. They think they can print people, they think they can print knowledge, and they think they can print status. But as we all know, reality is where your debt is paid to when you create that lie. You owe a debt to the truth. And what's happened really is that they've made being striving to be an elite terrible. But they've also made the bottom rung of their own elite structure itself quite terrible. Anyway, there's been a couple more donations here. I'll read those before we go. Thank you for the 100 sec. I think that's is that Polish?
Swedish krona.
Swedish. Nick Fuentes.
I'm also back.
Yes. Entire plan is for unwashed groypers to infiltrate the elite in the US. That just won't work because, like I said, it's a closed shop, stupid. If you could just walk in there, I think people would have done that already.
He also said book is great. Thank you for enjoying
book. Yes. That is Czech krona, I think. Thank you for the 200 Czech krona there. Grant from the Beer Charitable Foundation.
Strictly earmarked for pint.
Okay, I will make sure we will, none of this funding, none of your donations
will not be spent on pints.
Yes, thank you for the, £10 of pint fund. Fund and the £5 for Thought Frogging Stream. Thanks. Thank you, James Goodwin. And like I said, we can guarantee, absolutely guarantee, that none of these will go to starving Africans.
No. that is one thing you can guarantee this charity will not do.
Yes.
Which is what we're rebranding as now. And yes.
Yes. Anyway, thank you guys for watching.
We'll see you next week, hopefully about the same time with a special guest, I believe.
Yes,
as well.
Yes, we will have a special guest. So we'll see you guys later. Have a good one. Bye.
Good night.